Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path, coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. What are you doing? Are you doing like calisthenics, Hudson?
I'm just getting a little stretched out before the show.
All right.
I gotta be limber.
I don't do any types of exercise. Mike, do you do exercise?
Here's the deal, Ben. I ran 2 miles last week on a treadmill.
What, really?
Yeah.
Do you have a trip at your own place?
No. I was out of town last week, and I literally had nothing else to do, and I thought, I should really catch up on my physical activities.
Uh-huh.
So I've literally not ran in 10 to 15 years, and I thought I was going to die. And here's the problem that I have that I never thought I would have, but I thought everybody goes down with the iPod or something, you know, put some tunes in. And I have a hard time not running to the same beat that the song is on.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, a rocket tune would come on, and I'd have to juice the thing up, you know? And then a slow tune would come on, and I have to prime it way down.
Yeah.
And it was disorienting. It was making me dizzy.
That's interval training, if I might chime in.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
Wait a minute. So, do you set up a playlist to intentionally to run at different paces and stuff?
Well, I suppose that you could do that, but I mean, if that's the problem that you have,
actually, it's a hip thing. I thought I'd start it and see if it would catch on.
Yeah, no, I think that's
hardcore, as I call them.
All right, here's what we got going on the show tonight. Stretch. No, that's a great idea. Hudson's got the right idea. You got to stretch and prepare for this action. Here's what we got going on. Chandra Knudsen and Jordan Trimer in studio. I'm excited for this. They have a show coming up and at Mars Cafe April 12th.
Yeah.
Okay, April 12th. And so they've graciously allowed us to borrow some of their time to come in and share some of their music, some of their insight, and tell us a little bit about the upcoming show. So I'm excited for that. You've met Chandra before. Jordan is new. He stole some, right, when he came in.
Yeah, no, there's not much we can do about him, really.
Yeah.
I have a problem. But that's the first step, right? Admitting.
And getting some tunes to do it by.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to hear from them here in a little bit, hear about the upcoming show. I'm excited to hear that. Also, Mike, what's the big question on the docket tonight?
It has to do with, is it biblically consistent to do to look at life and the decisions that you make in the sphere of doing the most good? Like, for example, when I was thinking about it, there's a couple fellas in my life that they really just need a place to shelter. You know what I'm saying? To get away from the things that they're
we say tabernacle. That's how we say it.
They needed a place to tabernacle. And I thought, they could probably tabernacle at my place, you know? But then I thought, I don't know if I want them around my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I thought, here's the deal. If I have one person that needs a tabernacle, and it would be to the detriment of, say, the four people in my house, if I take the one minus the four that will cause a detriment, I'm three in the hole. That's not a win. Right, but for example, if I was to say give money to widows and orphans, and it breaks me, right? But it helps to feed widows and orphans, say 20 of them. But because of how much money I've given, I'm now a detriment to the 5 people around me who now have to sustain me and keep me alive. I'm still up 15 people.
Yeah,
that seems like a win. So I thought, is that biblically consistent thinking? Like, is the thought process to do how can I do the most good?
Yeah,
is that an avenue that you should be pursuing?
Okay, that's an interesting thought process. All right, we'll digest that a little bit more. Also, we've got Secular versus Solomon. This is where I will give you you can play at the home game. All right, folks, I will give you a proverb, and you have to tell me whether it is a bit of wisdom from the world or a biblical bit of wisdom, and then you can tally points, and I always win. But that's what we're gonna do: Secular versus Solomon. Mike's got some advice on. Some Pope style advice.
Right. Yeah, a little Pope style advice, and also have some advice we're going to give out on Dear Life from the Path.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Good. That's what we got going on the show tonight. Thank you guys for hanging out. By the way, there's a chat. If you're on the website, if you're at lifefromthepath.org, you can take part in the chat with the show, and we'd love to be able to interact with you in that way. All right. So let's get to know Jordan Trimer.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking at you. I'm feeling your vibe.
Feeling it.
I need to know if I'm right. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am, I'm 26 years old and I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. That's where I'm from the South. So it's a little bit different being up here, but I came up for school and to be with my family. And
I was going to say, like, how long has your deportation from the South been in effect?
Are you tabernacling here?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of sorts. Yeah, but I'm from the South, so grew up there. Loved it. It's great. It's really cold up here. I don't think I've gotten used to it yet. Really upset about today. I mean, going away. It was just too short-lived. It's awful.
I can understand.
So, but yeah, came up, finished school. I went to school for video, and I'm interested in film. That's what I've been pursuing my whole life, and what I'm getting ready to go do this summer. I'm moving up to Chicago to help plant a church in the Westmont area, and just going to be involved in their creative team up there and do video and stuff like that.
Sweet.
So, yeah, nice. I want to get into some animation and all that good stuff. So,
oh, sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so tell me about your musical background. Like, what are your influences? How long have you been playing?
Jeez. Okay. Well, I mean, I've been playing since I was young. I started with the alto saxophone, actually.
I played the soprano sax.
That's the coolest one.
That's what I'm saying. That's the cool
Kenny
one.
G.
Yeah.
That's odd. Were you good?
Could no.
You...
No. No, wait a minute. I didn't play the soprano sax. No. I played the tenor sax.
Yeah. That one's not as cool.
No.
It's like the riding the pine saxophone.
Yeah, crap.
Crap, all the altos are broken. Send in the tenor.
It was cool. I thought it was cooler than the alto. Honestly,
I've oversold it, though. Crap. All right. Anyway, continue.
I'm just going to pause right here. He was really overjoyed about the Kenny G style sax. Just keep that in mind.
No, that's true. That tells me something about you.
Continue on, Jordan.
His Christmas album.
I don't have enough to judge you correctly yet. Continue giving me more facts.
I don't play the saxophone anymore, guys. So, nah, but that's what I started playing in band, and obviously just piano and stuff like that around the house. I have a very musical family. I'm probably the worst musician out of my family.
So has Ben.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I still love it though, and that's why I do it. And honestly, I feel like some of my favorite stuff to do is write. I just like to write, and that's something a word that I have for it is catharsis. I don't have it. It's like a Greek thing. It's not the biblical word, but catharsis is being able to, like, if your soul is bound up and stuff like that, being able to write it out and like get your thoughts out on paper and be able to express that. Now, in my life, I haven't really, I've gone about in different ways. When I was in the South, I got into hip hop. So yep. I love hip hop. And
so does Ben.
I like this guy. So I did a lot of that. Now, eventually, like when I started, it wasn't, it was awful. I'll just be real. It was, you know, I was trying to be Lil Wayne and Young Money, baby, Young Moolah.
I totally saw that coming. I was thinking the same thing. We're two slices from the same sandwich,
that's great.
Me and Jordan.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Turkey?
You bet.
Yeah, but I love hip hop. I love the expression that's possible through just like really pouring it out and having a lot of lyrics. But since I've come up here, I got a guitar when I was 15.
Yep.
And I started playing and never really had any formal training. It's kind of like basketball. I've never had any formal training. I shoot like Dirk. I like shoot back here.
So does Ben. This.
Yeah.
Where do you hoop at, man? Like, do you have a gym?
Yeah, Ben, where do you hoop?
I can't answer that.
you got a squad?
Here's the deal. If I tell everyone where I hoop, everyone will be there.
You're right, you're right.
And then I won't have the sweet spot anymore.
You're right.
My arc is my arc.
You should keep that hush-hush, low-key, low-key.
And so you guys got a gig coming up at, where was it again, the Mars Cafe?
Yes.
Is it two separate shows in one show, or...?
Well, okay, so I heard that Mars Cafe did a lot of music and stuff, and I've done the coffee house thing, obviously, you know, I worked at Java Joe's thing there. And so I emailed Mars Cafe and asked him, you know, if we could book a show, and they're like, yeah, we're actually doing this thing called Sound Rover Series, and it's where they feature, like, local artists, and they do all original music. And so they're like, yeah, you can have this day, it's a two-hour slot, you can have an opener. I'm like, 2 hours, man, I might be whispering by the end of that set.
Yeah.
And so... Jordan and I had done a show before, like last year at Java Joe's. And so I was like, calling up Jordan, hey, do you feel like doing another show? He was like, no, yes.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That was the last show I've done.
Right.
So,
classic. Okay. So it'll be 2 hours worth of solid entertainment, though. Both original, yep, all the way through?
Yeah, so we'll probably do an hour each, maybe do some stuff together. Was asking the guy. Yeah, we definitely should. What we're doing tonight is actually really off cuff. We just worked it out before we came here, literally.
The whole show's like that. You'll be fine.
I know. Yeah. Good. That's why I told him. I was like, you just need to relax and just go with it.
It'll be fine.
That's what I do when I hoop.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I'll keep it on him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I warned you about him before he came in here. I tell you what, let's crack into the tunes then. Jordan, I think you're up first. What did you decide to play?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know this is a Jesus show, so I didn't. I tried to write something, and it's really good. I was listening to it in the bathroom, and I was like, wow.
Wait, in our bathroom?
Yes. Creepy. When I went to the bathroom, I was like, I should listen to this.
Voice memo? Or
yeah, voice memo.
Just sing it to yourself.
Because I voice memoed it.
Okay.
That's my like, the way I do it. The process is the voice memo.
Okay, sweet.
I do that, too.
But since I wrote it 3 hours ago, I don't think I'm going to be able to remember those 16 bars.
Uh-huh.
So.
Ben's got it.
I'm sorry, Jordan. I'm going to rephrase the question. Not what are you not playing this evening? What is it that you're playing for this evening?
I guess I could play something, a song I wrote earlier, like this past summer. I really enjoy it. Now, it's not completely finished, but it's a taste, and it will be finished on April 12th.
Okay, sweet. A teaser.
Yes.
All right, let's have it. Go ahead and grab your business. Get yourself saddled up. So
does it just cut off abruptly?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
How will I know what it is?
It's going to let the spirit move.
If you just say the word, no. Go ahead and clap now. That's when we'll do it.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. This is a taste, a delicacy of Jordan Trimer. And I'm going to turn it over to him. There you go, Jordan.
Everything is changing. What can I do? Trying to keep up pace with the electric avenue. All I sense is jealousy. The scent of insecurity is all a bit absurd to me. Why? 'Cause I do it for the love. Not for will, for fame, no. It's for the love. To find myself again. I don't need abuse, I don't need you. I just need two strong hands. Worn down from picking this U6 string. Ride a new 16, yeah. That's my freedom, man. I'm really living now. Everything's changing. What can I do? Trying to keep up pace with the electric avenue. All I sense is jealousy. Hey, the scent of insecurity is all a bit absurd to me. 'Cause I do it for the love. Yeah, yeah. Not for wealth or fame, no. It's for the love. Define myself again. I don't need you. I just need two strong hands. Worn down from picking this 2-6 string. Ride a new 16, eh? That's my freedom, man. I'm really living now. That's my freedom, man. I'm really living now. It's really nothing.
I liked it, man.
I do too. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but it's the style that you wrote it in, and the lyrics certainly support it. I don't know, it makes me want to do something with my life. Feel like I should be doing.
Love.
Yeah, I feel like I should do more than what I'm doing. That's for sure. It's convicting.
We were talking before the show, and so. If you want to hear more from Jordan, you're going to have to come out to the Mars Cafe. I like what he's done here. What he's done here is he's set up where people can always go online and check out stuff. But you're going to have to come to the show if you want to hear
the show. I'm low key with it.
Yeah.
I'm in my parents' basement just playing. Yeah.
I'm going to take over as PR man. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's an exclusive concert where you can catch the tunes of Jordan and Chandra together, and it's the only time you're going to see this thing within the next month or so.
It's really true.
It's so true.
And so it's more of a one-of-a-kind thing that it's an experience that you're going to miss out on if you can't get down to that Mars Cafe.
Yeah, Mars Cafe. That's on April 12th. What time does it start?
It's 7 to 9.
7 to 9 o'clock. I've been in the Mars Cafe. I had a delicious mocha there.
Yeah.
It was pretty
good. I've never been. Is it good?
It's pretty good. I mean, I'm kind of a coffee snob.
Better than Joe.
Jordan frequents the Mars Cafe quite often, loves the coffee, says it's fantastic. And the musical ambiance that's set is just, it's insurmountable. It's fantastic.
Yes.
Jordan, you're going to need to be quiet the rest of the show.
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. That clip and other clips from the show are available 24/7 at livefromthepath.org. And I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. Hey, it's home buying season, I think. I don't know. I don't know what season is home buying season.
I don't either.
But if you're going to buy a house, let's say it's your season to buy a house, go to the contact Bob Eisenlauer. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com. Bob's a good friend of the show. He's a great guy to work with. And if now was the time to buy or sell a house, he would know that. And I would call him. Go to EisenlauerTeam.com if you want to do that. At the very least, send him an email. Okay, shoot him a text. Go to his house. Follow his truck around, whatever, and say, hey, Bob. Thanks for advertising on Life in the Path. I truly appreciate it. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital. Go to westfieldvethospital.com. My dog is going to the Westfield tomorrow for some much-needed removal of some sort of weird thing that's grown on her. Yep. That happens tomorrow. And me and the kids were talking about it. We were praying and stuff, and we were talking about it before they went to sleep. And that freaks the dog out. You know, you ever taking your dog into the vet or something? And, like, I mean, it weirds them out. They're shaking around. They're kind of peeing around everywhere.
What?
Yeah. Has that not happened?
You make it sound so appealing.
Yeah.
It creeps them out.
Yeah, they don't. They're out of their comfort zone.
But,
absolutely.
But because the reason I'm saying that is because the kids and I were talking where, like the dog doesn't know anything else but your place. Like, you leave your house, you go to the store, you go to work, school, whatever, you come back, you visit grandma, all that stuff. The dog knows, like, that one place, and that's it. That's got to be scary. It's like going to, I don't know, West Virginia or something.
That's exactly like that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anyway.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben, I want you to think about the fact that the spotlight you just put on our sponsors were, it may be house buying season. Well, it's probably not. Follow around Bob Eisenlauer and stalk him. And then, by the way, my dog pees when it gets nervous. Westfield Veterinarian Hospital.
I feel like I've adequately represented
that
the situation.
That's what you just sponsored our sponsors with.
Anyway, westfieldvethospital.com. You should go. The point is, I'm taking my dog there. They're a great spot. All right. Let's see. I tell you what, Chandra, what do you have? What's going on in your life? So, hold on. The last time we saw Chandra, she rocked the Life from the Christmas from the Path event.
That was awesome.
She like strode in, rocked it, and then like threw the mic down and strutted out.
I did not throw the mic.
It cost us like $45 to replace that microphone.
We did not get her the proper bottle of water. I think that was the problem.
Okay, some of that story's true.
Yeah, very little of it, really. Yeah. Now, she did rock the show. The temper tantrum stuff we threw in there for flavor.
Yeah, that didn't really happen.
I have like one level. Pretty sure that's not it.
So that's been a while since we've seen you. What's been going on in your life?
Well, I'm a nanny. I know, so weird. Who would have thought? My PT Cruiser is the back seat filled with car seats.
Score.
It's kind of embarrassing sometimes. People think like, oh, she has three kids.
Right.
But then I'm also kind of flattered because then they're like, oh, she looks good for having three kids. But
that's true. Non-truthful flattery. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. But then I also am the worship leader over at Point of Grace. I think the last time I was on the show was kind of like,
yeah, it was just kind of easing.
Yeah. Just kind of starting that. So now I am, before too, like just recently, actually, I became the worship leader for the main service. I was mainly just working out with the youth on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. So I still do Wednesday nights and then Sunday mornings in the main auditorium.
Is it a way different vibe switching from the youth up to the, others?
Kind of, well, for one thing that's different is back in the Dive, which is the youth church, we just kind of wing it. And we take a song and we just literally make it our own. Like, it's nothing like the original or anything. Well, Sunday mornings, I now work with the band that was backing, the worship for the main service. And while they're all super talented, but, you know, they play exactly how the song is.
They don't do a lot of winging.
yeah, they need everything, you know, laid out in front of them. And that kind of sucks for me because I'm like,
yeah, let's wing it, bro.
Well, sometimes, you know, you just feel it and like the spirit tells you to do something. You just want to do that. And you know,
what if a spirit doesn't tell a violin man? He just sits there stubbornly and says,
we don't have violin man.
Well, that's because he's stubborn. Doesn't listen to the spirit.
No, but I mean, it's cool. I mean, I definitely feel like it's more polished in the main service, which, you know, is always awesome. Back in the dive, I feel like we just do a lot of winging, but I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
So. Yeah.
I mean, I like both, but it is a different vibe, but we still get to do the same music. It's just, it's a little more hardcore back in the dive and a little more gospel-esque. We have a saxophone player, actually.
There you go.
Maybe we could use two more. But no, it's pretty cool. I mean, I enjoy it both ways. So.
That's good. Yeah. That's real good.
All right.
So you're going to play some tunes for us tonight as well.
Yes.
Did you have in mind?
Well, first, me and Jordan worked out a duet.
Score.
It's going to be pretty
good.
Does
that mean Jordan's going to be near the microphone again?
Oh, yeah.
Jordan. Okay. All right. Give him 10 seconds to compose himself, and then we'll fire it up.
Let me take a couple deep breaths.
What's the name of the song?
We're actually doing a little bit of a mashup. It's Never Once by Matt Redman and I Surrender All.
Very cool.
Cool.
Okay, well, I think we can go and fire it up.
Yeah.
You guys are ready? 10 seconds is up, Jordan.
We literally just worked this out before we came.
That's right on. I played Monopoly before I got here. Actually, that's not true.
That game in years.
I played Crazy Taxi on my phone. It's not cool at all on the phone. Just for heads up.
I don't know. It's all right.
Right.
Okay.
You tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, yeah. We're ready to go. Oh. This is... Oh, him. You're talking to him.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Chandler Knudsen and Jordan Trimer. You're listening to Live from the Path.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you are with us.
Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. No, never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how far we've come, knowing every victory is your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say.
Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
All to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give.
How will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my precious Savior.
I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine.
Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender, oh, I surrender.
precious Savior, I surrender all. Oh, I never once did he ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. Never once did we ever walk alone. No, never once did you leave us on our own. Never once did we ever walk alone. Oh, never once did you leave us on our own. 'Cause you are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful.
That was great.
I really liked that one. That was really good.
That was kind of Wong.
It was Wong.
That's what must be why I like it. It's crap like that. It makes me cry sometimes. I didn't do it today. But it was close. I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
You'd have kept that up for another minute. I'd have had to go hide in the corner. I really like that one. It's very, very good. Thank you.
Yes. By the way, like I said, you can catch those tunes, clips from those on lifefromthepath.org. Probably sometime tomorrow, but you can check out that business live by going to Mars Cafe on April 12th, starting at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it sounds like an awesome show. Mars Cafe, it's in the Drake area.
Yeah, it's on University.
Yep, it's on University in Drake area. Sounds like an awesome, awesome show. I'm very excited for it. Dude, totally free.
Sweet.
No, it's not free. It's going to cost you $10.
Sometimes people do that.
Donations are accepted.
That's what I'm saying. You bring five for coffee and give the other five to somebody else. That's the way it's going to roll.
Here, Jordan.
The baristas will
pick.
Get mad.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, does everybody use the YouVersion Bible app? Everybody use it here?
I have that, yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know why this irritates me, and I was hoping you could explain it to me. But, like, I was reading my Bible a couple days ago, and there was, like, a patch of verses that really hit me. Like, I thought, man, I feel like the Lord yelling at me. And so I was okay with it, and I was praying on it, and I was working at it for a couple days, and then that particular verse showed up on the YouVersion Bible app, and it really irritated me, like it had sold out and gone commercial. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. There's something about this.
You mean
this.
Like the verse of the day?
Yeah, it was the verse of the day, and I'm like, well, it can't be everybody's verse of the day. Dang it. I don't know. There's something about it, like I like the underground stuff. And
mainstream.
I can't have everyone else praying on the same verse as I was. I don't know what irritated me about it, but it bothered me.
Dude, actually, I didn't think about that, but that's a fairly integrated app. Like when you highlight something, they probably know at the YouVersion headquarters, and they send it out as the verse of the day to everyone around you so they can be praying.
Yeah, that's
on it.
True. Mike's in some real trouble. he's lost all his steadfastness.
All right, and here we go.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
All right, you've unfortunately landed, I mean, awesomely landed on America's fastest growing internet game show, Unproven. Here's the basic nature of the game. I will provide you with a bit of wisdom, okay? And you have to tell me whether it is a secular bit of wisdom, a worldly bit of wisdom, or whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom. Basically, can we tell the difference between what the world says is a good idea and what the Bible says is a good idea? That's secular versus Solomon. If it is a worldly bit of wisdom, you can say it's secular, and then you have to give me the country of origin. Listen here. Country of origin. I don't want tribes of people.
Boobie doesn't know the difference.
Continents are not going to fly.
You can't hold it against them.
West Covina is not a country. Okay? All right. Country of origin.
I'm ready.
Okay? If you guys are on the chat, you guys can play along. And we're going to get started on Secular versus Solomon. And here we go.
Okay.
Was there a point of order?
Well, I was just going to ask, do we just chime in?
No, I'll speak? Go around.
Okay.
I'll go around.
I'm sorry.
All right, here we go.
I'm excited.
Wasn't paying attention
really
for
excited.
A minute, Ben. I'm sorry.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon. Stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Secular or Solomon? Dan Hudson.
I'm going to call, I'm going to say that is secular, and that, I'm pretty sure that was from what was a couple weeks ago known as Crimea.
Sweet stolen bread in Crimea.
Yeah.
Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Chandra Knutson.
I think secular, and sometimes I get my continents and countries mixed up. I'm thinking. Ireland.
Ireland. Jordan Trimer.
I might have to say Solomon.
Jordan's in with Solomon.
Yeah.
The first Solomon of the day, Mike Foost.
Yeah, me and my buddy Jordan are both going with Solomon.
That's a Solomon. Bova.
Bandwagon, Solomon.
Bandwagon, Solomon.
All right.
Solomon's lead 3-2. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. It is indeed Solomon. Proverbs 9:17.
I'm just for a point of order here. Pastor Dan and worship leader Chandra fail.
That's why I didn't want to play this game.
We don't steal we don't steal bread. We just don't get it.
Pagans on the north side of the table win. Continue on. Question number two, Ben.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon? In every woman there is a queen. Speak to the queen, and the queen will answer. In every woman there is a queen. Speak to the queen, and the queen will answer, secular or Solomon. Chandra Knutson.
I don't know, but regardless, this sounds like very high-maintenance women. I'm going to say secular and China.
Secular China.
The geisha girl, yeah.
Yeah. Don't date the ladies in China. They're going to be difficult. Jordan Raymer. You're up. I thought you were going to speak. We were going to battle it out.
I'm going to have to agree secular, although I don't know their queens in China. I think they're emperors. So I'm going to...
You mean empresses?
Oh,
emperors
maybe. Maybe. I would say... Oh, what country?
There's no penalty.
Just go. Let's go England.
$3 fine. My Foost.
Yeah. I'm also going with secular. I'm sorry about Jordan. my country was Tanzania.
Secular Tanzania. John Boover the Third.
Secular Egypt.
Egypt. Dan Hudson.
Oh, maybe that.
Yeah, I'm going secular. And isn't Queen, isn't that like one of those UK bands? I'm going to go Great Britain.
Great Britain. That's a double down for England.
Did
here we go.
Did you just go, is Queen one of those UK bands?
I meet him at the airport.
Dan has not been culturally relevant.
Again, I don't listen to pagan music, and I don't steal bread.
Here we go. Yeah, Solomon. Write about something I care about. Here we go. In every woman, there is a queen. Speak to the queen, and the queen will answer. Chandra says, stay away from that Norwegian woman. That's a secular proverb. She said she's high maintenance.
Oh, it's oh, okay.
Yeah,
Norwegia. Norway.
Norwegia.
Here we go. Secular. It's a rough night. It's a rough night on Secular Solomon. Here we go. Secular Solomon. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Secular or Solomon? Jordan.
Solomon. Israel.
Solomon. Mike.
Yeah, boy, that thing spiked with Solomon language all over the place. I'm doubling down with Jordan. Solomon.
That's two for Solomon. John Buva.
The hat trick, number three, Solomon.
Boova's in for Solomon. Dan Hudson.
Solomon, son of David.
Chandra Knutson going out on a limb?
No, I still think it's Solomon.
It's Solomon. All right. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. That is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 10:19.
Yes,
if you're playing the home game, that is we're using the English Standard Version, just in case you need to know. ESV on the secular Solomon. Here we go. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Secular or Solomon? Mike Foose.
No, that's a Scooby-Doo Solomon right there. He's wearing a costume. That's definitely a secular from the realms of, got to be Botswana.
Botswana. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Italy.
Secular Italy. Dan Hudson.
It's Canadian.
Secular Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chandra Knutson.
I think it's secular too. I got to think of another country.
There's a lot of them.
Mexico.
Mexico.
It's less and less every day. Russia's on the move.
Secular Mexico. Yeah, that's true. Russia would be it's all matter of sins. Jordan.
I believe that saying is from the mountains of Tibet.
Tibetans.
Yes, the Tibetanese.
Curse the man who's holding the grain. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Removed from the participants of this table. Solomon, Proverbs 11:26.
Dang it.
Obviously, you didn't.
That is a complete bail.
Ruled by the crowd, Jordan. Shame on you.
I was. I totally was.
You've been taken in by the mob, and you've released Barabbas.
He's fine, sir.
Here we go.
He's misunderstood.
Secular or Solomon, don't make use of another's mouth unless it has been lent to you. Don't make use of another's mouth unless it has been lent to you, secular or Solomon. John Buva.
That's just weird.
It's the translation.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon, Dan Hudson.
Cuban.
Cuban straight mouths. Chandler Knutson.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say secular and Portugal.
Portugal.
Yugoslavia.
Mike Foost.
Hold on. Buva said Solomon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with secular and Italy.
Don't make use of another's mouth unless it has been lent to you, secular Belgian. Belgium. It is a Belgium
proverb.
Who was
the closest? Who was the closest?
What? I'm sorry. What version of the Bible was it that you read?
That's the Waffle House.
I've read Proverbs 1 through 9.
The Waffle House version.
I am working on 10 through 32. Leave me alone.
You've stumbled on America's fastest growing internet game show. This is Secular versus Solomon. And here is next. Speak the truth, but leave immediately after. Speak the truth, but leave immediately after. Secular or Solomon, Dan Hudson.
That is a Native American proverb.
That is not a country.
North America. It was not a country. It's a
that
tribal
is also
thing.
North America
was before there was a country here.
Excuse me. This is a country, not a continent, not a tribe.
We'll call it the Winnebago tribe that was going to be America.
That is completely bailed on the rules. I'm assigning you Malaysia.
It is the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom Epcot.
What?
All right. Speak the truth, but leave immediately after. Chandra Knutson.
I think secular and... What?
Nothing. I'm thinking out loud.
I'm sorry. What is going on over here?
Peru?
Peru. All right. Jordan Trimer.
This is a game show, Jordan. Will you pull yourself together? It's not your turn.
I'm thinking
okay.
out loud. I'm
You're
sorry.
You're up. Beetlejuice. Go.
It's definitely secular. And it's. I'll go with Brazil. Brazil.
You can't say Brazil,
you mean Brazil?
On this stage.
Brazil.
Okay. He's in. Mike.
I'm going with secular and Russian.
Secular.
Secular Sri Lankan.
Ooh.
Speak the truth, but leave immediately after. You will know that you've run into a Slovenian, a Slovak.
Wow.
Secular.
Similar to the Sri Lankans or the Slovenians.
here we go.
They look and act the same, absolutely.
Secular versus Solomon. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down.
Why do I always get the woman once?
Everyone gets the woman once.
Well, I know, but it falls on me.
Right. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Secular or Solomon, Chandra Knutson.
Solomon.
Mr. Trimer.
Solomon.
No, oh, I think folly's it's a Scooby-Doo again. Secular. Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
The Dutch.
Secular Sudanese.
Sudan. From the Sudan. Dan Hudson.
I'm going Solomon.
Solomon. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Watch for houses falling in the Sudan, although it is a legitimate proverb. Proverbs 14:1.
Oh, yeah.
Proverbs 14:1.
I thought that wisdom and folly in the same verse, it had to be a trick.
Nope.
Since it happens so often in Proverbs.
Nice. It's a trick.
Buva sits in a chair of lies. Secular Solomon, do not bathe if there is no water. Do not bathe if there is no water, secular or Solomon. Jordan Trimer.
That's definitely secular, and that's America.
Secular, no bathe. I'm going to go with secular and Chile.
Secular Philippines.
That's harsh, man.
Wow.
Are you implying that the Filipinos don't bathe regularly?
Yeah.
That's harsh.
It's a controversial show.
Dan Hudson, go ahead.
It is obviously from India.
Sweet. Chandra Knutson.
I think it's secular.
Tread lightly. We've offended every nationality so far. Tone it down.
I'm trying to think of one. Thailand?
Yeah. Thailand? Yeah, you can put them in with the Philippines.
Life in the Path is no longer available in East Asia. Do not bathe if there is no water. Myanmar.
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
Myanmar.
Yeah, so that's
where
right
that?
On.
It was in Southeast Asia.
It was in Southeast Asia.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the first one where we've consistently been very close to the actual country of origin.
Here we go. Secular. We have two more. Secular Solomon. There will be trouble if the cobbler starts making pies. There will be trouble if the cobbler starts making pies. Secular or Solomon, Mike Foost.
That's secular Sweden.
Sweden.
Secular Betty Crocker. I'm going to go secular Danish.
The Danes. Ooh. Dan Hudson.
That is a French pastry type of a proverb.
I hear pies, I say pastry.
They're little pies.
There will be trouble if the cobbler starts making pies. Chandra Knutson.
Someone say Sweden already?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You can
Norway.
Double down on Sweden.
Norway.
The chat agrees. The answer is always Norway. You're being influenced, Mr. Trimer.
When I hear cobbler, I'm thinking like Geppetto. So German, Germany, Germany.
There, I think Geppetto.
Doesn't everyone?
Don't know why.
That comes up with me all the time. There will be trouble if Geppetto, if the cobbler starts making pies. Russia. Russia. That's how you know something
a KGB
there
is
aren't
afoot.
Cobblers in Russia.
There will be trouble.
Isn't a cobbler someone that fixed shoes?
Yeah.
Though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
see, I was thinking the movie Thief and the Cobbler, that cartoon.
Attack.
Yeah. Glad we're on the same page.
It's really creepy.
I only get over the air
so
channels.
Good. You need to watch it. It's on Netflix.
I tried watching it. It's creepy.
It's so good.
The animation
wait, wait,
is
sorry,
weird.
What is it?
The Thief and the Cobbler. It's a cartoon.
Okay, The Thief and the Cobbler.
You do need to see it, though.
You do. My sister and I used to watch it like every day, 10 times
a
day.
And it's a cartoon?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
I will. I'll do when I get
home.
I
don't think you
will. I'm going to get home at 2 a.m. I'll do what I want.
Your kids will like it because the boys I nanny, they loved it.
Okay. I love this. All right, I'm going to check it out. Thief and the Cobbler. Secular Solomon. Oh, here we go. Final answer. Okay, everything else is worth 1 point. This is worth 50.
Wow.
Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Bread problems abound. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Secular or Solomon. John Buva.
I'm going to go in for secular, and I'm going to say Saudi Arabia.
Bread's a problem with the Saudis. Dan Hudson.
It's definitely Solomon.
Definitely. It's a hard Solomon. Everyone look at Buva. How do you take that message?
I'm bigger than all of you.
All right, Chandra Knutson.
I say Solomon.
Too. Solomon.
100%.
100%.
Solomon.
Myanmar.
Yes.
Help me out here.
Mike Foost.
I'm going to have to go with Solomon on this one, Ben.
The better to be lowly like Buva and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. That is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 12:9.
That was actually what I said. I think that the people on the radio show realized that it was dubbed in from a previous answer. And I actually did say
show.
Secular. Or I said Solomon.
Secular?
I win.
Or Solomon?
Who won? Me. I just
you have to keep
it.
Track of your own stories. Hey, you guys on the chat, nice job. Nice job. Thanks for playing. Actually, we don't need to watch that again.
No, it's good.
All right, here we go. What do we got going on here? Mike, we got. What do you want to do? You want to do the. Can you help people? Should you bring a guy in your house?
You wrap that up in 10 to 12?
Yeah.
All right,
do it. Yeah, give it a shot. Go ahead. What's your premise?
So the premise was I was thinking about this today concerning a couple folks around my life that I thought I'd really like to help them out, but like it's almost too great of a risk to help them. They bring such nasty with them that I don't know that I can have them at my place, right? And I thought, well, is that the right way to think? Because my thought process was, is like, I'd like to have them come stay with me and you know, help them out, get them away from stuff they're in. But that would be negatively affecting, say, the four people that live at my house. So I thought four people who would be negatively affected. So if I have one guy that's positively affected minus the four, I'm three in the hole. That's no good. I said, so logically, that can't work. But then I thought on the same premise, we always talk about helping how the Bible talks about helping widows and orphans, which right. I 100% believe in, right? But if you do it to the point where you become a burden on somebody else, then you've added to the problem. But in reality, like if I give enough money to help out 20 widows and orphans, and I become a burden to like the five people around me, I'm still at a positive 15. I feel like that's still the way to go. So I thought, is this biblically consistent, right? Like, I mean, is it all simple as math, Dan?
Is this new Common Core math thing that I've been hearing about?
No, that's what. That's not. Hold on, Dan. How high did you get in math in the school?
7.
I mean, if you have 20 minus 5, that's 15 everywhere you go, right?
Here, my point is, I think you're confusing it with math. It's your highest ministry in life is to those who are in your family, in your home, whether it's 1 or 7 or 12 or how many that.
Yeah, but as far as Jesus goes, they're solid. The guy that
I'm talking about taking care of them, providing for them, sheltering them, yada, yada, yada. And then you want to help as many as you can as well, but not to the hindrance of your immediate family.
Oh, boy.
Why are you saying that? Like, what's that grounded in?
Yeah, what is that grounded in? Dan? Book of Dan?
Taking care of your family. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever.
Provide for the family, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there are no verses that are popping in my head other than that one. I mean, it's just common scripture of taking care of your own. You take care of others as well. We take care of our church family. We take care of the hungry, the poor, the naked, and so forth. All of those we're responsible to, but I don't take care of the dude down the street if my children go hungry.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about basic foods and services, right? Like,
I misunderstood.
Well, I mean, I guess to the point is I'm saying, like,
you did claim to be a burden on your surrounding family.
Well, that was for the orphans. That was maybe that was two separate situations,
okay.
Right? But like, for example, like with let's say the guy that's in the straits needs a place to live, right? But he's hung out with a bunch of shady characters in the past, mm-hmm. and they're not exactly letting go of him.
Yeah,
and so to get him out of the situation he's in, to invite him to my place would be basically inviting trouble to my house.
Right.
Is that an automatic no?
I would not do it personally.
On the same grounds that like you have a responsibility to protect your family.
Let me go back a step. I have done that before, but the moment that the half breath when it crossed the line, it was you're out.
I think there
were boundaries.
This is where this is difficult. Is that like dealing with anybody at all in an effort to help them or point them to Christ involves risk. Yeah, like anytime you open up your life to somebody, which to a certain extent, being able to share the gospel and not be the guy that's on the side of the road yelling from a box, you're going to have to expose some element of your life to them, and it does include risk to doing so. So it's not that we can live a life where we're completely sheltered from the risk of other people's crap. Like, that's the nature of living in a community or even having a family. Like, you didn't even choose these people, and they're bringing risk into your life. The question is to what extent is there prudence behind – I know, just being intentional about having protections in place. Like, you have a responsibility to care for your family. You really are called to introduce that type of risk into your life. The question is how, right? It's how it's being done. It's not necessarily that you open your door to every child molester and say, here, take refuge here, friend. But can you take calculated steps into your life? Hopefully spirit-guided steps. And I think that's a lot of what I was thinking about today. Is that ultimately, like this utilitarian thought of the greater good, although there's been a lot of attempts to marry that from a Christian perspective, like we simply can't do the right things in the wrong way, like we you know what I'm saying, like God is the end. Like, sometimes if you hear the phrase the ends justify the means, God lives in the means and takes care of the end. Where when we try to predict things, we try to figure out the right end and then figure out what means it takes to get there. And I really feel like we're more called to the means. Like when we're laying out what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, that's how he's not giving you the end, right? He doesn't tell you, this is what I want done. He tells you how you accomplish everything. Everything is to be accomplished in these ways and acting this way with this type of heart, right? So like Jesus largely lays out the means, and then the end is whatever the outcome, and we can have faith that the appropriate outcome of the right means produces the correct end.
So I would like to – I have thought for years it'd be really cool to be involved in foster parenting, because you're getting some children that are troubled, and I think we can offer some help to them. Our family can. However, I'm not going to do that until my children are gone, mostly because I have two girls, and I just didn't want to put them in a risky situation. My brother has done that, and – often they come with a history, and they tend to repeat the history that's been done to them, type of thing. And some of the stuff he went through, I thought, I just don't want to have that going on.
Well, and I think that's fair. And I don't know that I'm advocating, bringing danger upon your family.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've been through this before, And I made the decision not to bring them into my house, right? Now I've come up with alternative plans to build them a house on the back of the property to keep them away from me, but still give them a place to stay.
Yeah.
It'll come to fruition.
Yeah.
But like for the long haul, I guess what I was trying to figure out was, actually, I got ideas. I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
what I was trying to come up with is because like, I feel like that that widows and orphans thing, like we slide over that verse a lot, mm-hmm. right? And we look at it as you know, yeah, we need to help people in general. That's the means.
Yeah,
that's what we'll do, right? But like, we'll help them as long as it doesn't take away from me. You know, as long as it doesn't lessen me, because God's meant me to have what I have and to be what I am, and this is what He's provided for me. And I don't know whether that's true or not. You know what I'm saying? I think it's really dependent on the person and how much you're seeking the Holy Spirit's direction in that. You know, but like for the most part, I know you can't bank on the greater good, right? But like I feel like more often than not, we stick on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
Or like I don't want to be detrimented at all.
No.
Because this is me.
And I think that's a real risk, and especially in our culture, Western culture. That type of thing, we very much run that risk. The risk that we look at in our lives is sacrificing something that's not really, relatively speaking, you know, isn't a basic need, right? How are we impacted? We tend to draw the line. Yeah, I would firmly say that we draw the line way too far away. Like we have a lot more that can be sacrificed in time, money, love, effort, in helping people that we don't do, because of the way that we look at what sacrifice means. And so like that's the problem, is that we have too much rope.
Yes.
We have too much rope. So I think that is true. So I think we have a lot farther way to go than we think we do. In fact, I've thought that I was, what was it? Like last week, I forgot I didn't bring my lunch to work and I thought, I'll just buy something. And then like, as I was up there checking out, I thought like, could I not eat a meal a day and direct that somewhere else? Like that would, it comes up where you can like buy water for a village. For like $5 a week or something. And I thought, how much of a struggle would that be for me to give up a meal a day? Now, in America, I just don't do that. But like, there are people that survive on a meal. And my one meal, if I ate it, would be significantly better than the one meal they eat. And I thought, I know nothing of sacrifice. I know nothing of actually giving for people. And that makes me sad. Because my line is just too far.
Yeah.
It's too far away. And if we get too comfortable with that, like, we never end up getting back to a spot where like, you know, we're caring for the widow and orphan if it's convenient, and like God really just didn't give us that much leeway on it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, I think you're right when you're talking about like that emotional investment. You know, taking the opportunity. Anytime you open yourself up into somebody else's life, they bring their junk with them, and you bring yours. You know what I'm saying? And there is a risk involved, and like to a certain extent, like I totally understand what you're saying, Dan. Like I mean that's kind of the exact same situation I was looking at, and I wasn't going to have it. Because of my kids. But I thought, you know, how much rope am I giving myself here? You know what I'm saying? Do I just want nobody because I'm insular? I just want to be secluded. I don't want to be bothered with your other stuff. I got stuff going on, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be bothered with it. Well, that pretty much means that I literally can't help anybody the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That I can't be inconvenienced at all for any reason.
You don't want to upset your family rhythm. Every family has a rhythm, you know.
Yes.
And we have things, this is how we do it, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, someone comes in and upsets the whole apple cart, and you're like, takes more time. And
well,
energy.
That's kind of the thing, is like, I'm afraid of idolizing the rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my fear. And I don't know that it's an unhealthy, I think it's just something to know about. Right? Like, mm-hmm. you got to watch. I mean, especially as parents, you tend to, the top three things you start to idol is one, your kids, two, your spouse, and three, your way of life. And mm-hmm. like, it all becomes like a thing. And then it's, and you're totally ignoring what the Holy Spirit has for you because you're like, this has to be it. It's, I'm happily married. I have blessings as children, and He seems to be providing for them with the job. This is what God set up for me. Well, that's a good way to get yourself out of the joy train. You know what I'm saying? He has way bigger stuff for you. I'm not saying maybe that's not what He had set up for you, but if that's as soon as you get there and you presume to know what God had planned for your life, that's where I think the mistake shows up. And so I don't know. I was just kind of being cognizant of what's going on there, just to kind of, I don't know, wake me up a little bit to say, you know, I don't tell God what's good for me. You know, He knows what's good for me. He made me. He loves me. It's just a little bit more about going back and saying, you know, is this what you want me doing right now? You know.
Yeah.
Just checking in and saying, is this what you, I'm just checking, you know, are we good? I'm going to keep rolling. Are we good?
Yeah.
Then, you know, then throw another whole wrench in the whole thing here is you have a wife that it has to being on this too, and your family. You know, it's not necessarily just you making a decision saying, right now you guys need to suck it up because we're doing this, you know.
Yeah.
In my situation where I brought someone into the house, they weren't really thrilled about it because they're comfortable with the rhythm of the family. And so I had to discern, okay, I don't mind getting in their comfort zone, you know, but I wouldn't compromise safety. So I kind of got them and nudged them beyond their safety, their comfort zone. So it's just a knife, kids.
I'm just going to tie you to the chair. It's going to be fine.
It's not a big deal. So you have to know when to push and when to kind of come back. And I don't know that I do it perfectly or anything, but I brought someone in and no one was thrilled about it. But after it was all said and done, they're like, okay, that, you know, wasn't all
that
bad.
Yeah, it was just kind of a thing.
They got used to it.
It's just something to keep in mind. I think really the defining point has to be like, are you trusting God for your provision and direction? Like, and that's not I got what he wanted me to do when I was 19, and then I just checked out. I got the broad orders, all fill in the blanks. If you let him fill in the blanks, he can squeeze joy out of a lot of stuff.
You're listening to Live from the Path. Hey, if you're on the podcast, please hang out. If you're on 99.3 KTA, we've got to let you go. And we will see you next week. Next week on the show, the Moon Man's back in. Moon Man's coming in last week. Okay.
Who? What?
Anyway, hey, make sure you go hit the Mars Cafe on April 12th. Chandra and Jordan are going to be out there. It's going to be an awesome show. It's totally free. Should be an awesome night. Please come out and check them out. And if you're on the podcast, hang out. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to Live from the Path. So I was looking up Mike. So Mike had sent me that earlier in the day that he kind of wanted to talk about that. And it was I was looking up utilitarianism. Okay, do you know what that, Mike? You know what that is?
No.
Okay, so theory of utility is basically...
You're trying to make me look dumb.
No. It's for the
you
great...
You don't know that.
It's weighing what is moral, what is good, by what is impacts the like creates the most pleasure for the most people, basically. Okay? So if as you, this biblical perspective, if to save a people you had to sacrifice one man, the theory of utility would say sacrifice the one man. No doubt about it. So you remember when is it Caiaphas or like the high priests are like, you know, for the protection of people, this Jesus has to die.
Yeah.
He's causing too much trouble. Rome's going to come down on this thing. So like that's a very utilitarian thought. Whatever is the most good for the most people, even if people are getting harmed, like the moral right thing to do is to do the thing that's the most good for the most people. The original founder of utilitarianism, a guy named Jeremy Bentham, and his was like very hedonistic. Whatever brings the most pleasure for the most people with the least amount of pain. But it was a very, you still had to make a judgment as to what is pleasurable, what is good and what is bad. That's where utility becomes a problem, is because you still have to have some sort
because
of decipher as what's
basically.
Good, what's good for people.
Yeah.
Right. Is it good for people because they like it? Or is it good to, like, maybe a guy likes eating pudding and that's all he eats pudding. Well, that's good. That's the kids say it's good because he loves pudding. But if he eats pudding all the time, he's going to be giant and die.
Yeah, there's a guy two apartments down that thinks it's good to kill cats.
Yeah.
You know, with a scalpel.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't trust that guy either.
So, and like you've heard of John Stuart Mill was a
You know
philosopher.
I haven't heard of that guy.
No, I don't. What? He's well known.
Who is it? John Stuart Mill?
Yeah. So his dad, John Stuart Mill's dad was a general, and he ended up making cereals. He's a cereal magnate. General Mills.
Hey, man.
Yeah, what's up?
You totally pointed at me when you said the dude that eats way too much
did
pudding.
Not.
Your
did
hand
not.
Motion went right at me.
I intentionally did not
hey,
look
man,
at you.
Guy eats way too much pudding. Kid really likes pudding. He's going to get big and he's going to die. You legitimately went.
I did not.
It could be any moment.
It's me.
I looked elsewhere.
You were looking elsewhere, but your subconscious was making your hand go, the big guy in the corner. Boob is eating too much pudding.
Here's the deal. I should be able to tell a fat guy joke without you moving up to the microphone.
Not when you look
it
at me.
It may not be you. Wilford Brimley was also a large man.
Are you saying I look like Wilford Brimley?
At times. Okay. Anyway.
I don't like your big words, and I don't like your pudding comments.
Hey. One other thing I thought about, though, today. That Jeremy Bentham, the guy that started utilitarianism, had himself stuffed.
Now, I read a little bit about that, actually. I saw that.
When he died, he had himself, it's called an auto icon. He had himself stuffed, and he's in a case at the University of London. I've seen him. I was over there at the University of London. I saw him in a case. And on special anniversaries, they take the stuffed guy out and they wheel him up. And it's in the meeting minutes for like the meeting of the board as Jeremy Bentham present but not voting.
I will do everything I can to be stuffed for my own funeral. Like, I want to be sitting in the front row of my own funeral, stuffed.
Why don't you just go ahead and do a wax? Well, see, museum, and you can enjoy it now.
Well, and so actually, so here's
the
deal:
talk to yourself.
Is they ended up having to wax do his head because they. It was like in the it was the early 1800s when this happened, right? And so the technology of like keeping somebody preserved, although you see the Egyptians could do it, but we stink, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they tried to do this thing, and they really screwed it up. Like it was very like macabre. The guy looked like a horror film, like a zombie. And so they ended up keeping some of his hair and doing like a wax face, and then that's pasting creepy. His hair on it.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
But they kept the skull like in this case next to him, in the.
This is the coolest thing I've ever heard of.
That's what I'm saying.
very unnecessary. But very cool nonetheless.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeremy Bentham. Yeah. That's the guy. All right. Chandra, you still owe us a tune.
I do.
What are you going to play?
It's a new one I wrote a few days ago called Washed Away.
I just want to say that she sang this for me before we came over here and I almost cried. I almost did that.
I'm going to snuggle up to Jordan on this one.
Yeah.
To try to hide my tears in
Come
his flannel.
Come on, bring it in.
It's good, man. Really good.
All right. You are listening to Live from the Path. This is Chandra Knutson with Washed Away.
How was dry a desert land? You brought the rain and cleansed me of my sins. Yeah, I was dry a desert land. You brought the rain and cleanse me of my sins. You washed away, you washed away my shame. You washed away, you washed away my blame. By your grace and by your grace, I'm saved. I'll never be the same. Cause you washed away. Empty I was, thirsting for you. You filled me up like only you can do. Yeah, empty I was, thirsting for you. But you filled me up like only you can do. You wash away, you wash away my shame. You wash away, you wash away my blame. By your grace and by your grace I'm saved. I'll never be the same. Cause you washed away, away, away. You washed away, away, away. You gave me a clean heart, soaked me in pure water. Lord, you gave me a clean heart, soaked me in pure water. You gave me a clean heart, soaked me in pure water. You washed away. grace, and by your grace I'm saved. I'll never be the same. No, I'll never be the same. No, 'cause you wash away. You washed away.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like a soundtrack for living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Thanks.
Now, is that somewhere where folks can go check it out?
No, I just wrote it on Saturday.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
I managed to clean my kitchen on Saturday. I feel like I haven't done nothing with my life. I feel like you did way more. I really liked it. It was very, very good.
Yeah. Do you so you currently have a CD out. It's available on iTunes and Amazon and stuff. Yep.
Yep.
Rotten. Yep, you can pick that. Actually, you can also listen, you can give it a taste of it on the Spotify, but I would pick it up. Get it
I would
on
just
your,
buy it.
Yeah, just pick it up.
I would hate to have to call you cheap to your friends.
Yeah. I would too. I would
buy
say
it at Mars Cafe when I sing.
Yeah, score.
Yeah, if you go to the Mars Cafe show, you can buy it there.
Yeah.
And I won't have to call you cheap to your grandma.
Yeah. Your grandma don't want to know it. She's on the way out. She doesn't want to know she got a cheap.
I will add whatever I have to that story to shame you to your grandma until you buy the CD.
That's been about what's about a year and a couple months, right? Was it last January or so that it came out?
Yep.
Do you have anything else in the works? Are you thinking about doing something else?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Just doing my YouTube stuff on my crappy computer, but
you could upgrade your computer.
Yeah,
that makes that story awesome.
I hate being poor. I mean, I can't, man. It's hard. I'm not poor. I shouldn't say that.
Boova has a little bit of money he can give you.
No.
He's just recently given up pudding.
And you have no idea how much that came out of my paycheck. Like, it was a ridiculous amount of money.
Shops at Costco.
People are like, Troy, how did you manage your budget? It's just like, I bought a brand new car because of the amount of pudding I've been saving on.
Pudding.
I got the Wilford Brimley disease, and I can't eat the pudding no more.
Hey, do you do voices, Boova? Can you do an argument between Bill Cosby, who wants you to buy pudding pops, and Wilford Brimley, who says you have the diabetes and that you shouldn't have any?
I would have to spend some time listening to them, but yeah, I could probably figure
that
out.
I want you to work that up.
Bill Cosby talking about pudding, an advocate for pudding.
Yeah, yeah, the pudding pops. That's he's going to say it.
Is the pudding pops.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
And then Wilford Brimley.
Who's trying to remind you that you have diabetes and that you shouldn't have them. That's,
all right,
that's
I'll
your
work
job.
Something up.
Okay, cool. You're listening live from the path.
I love my life and where it's come.
Mike, what do you got? Oh, yeah, you got some Pope style?
I'm in the middle between two things, Ben. What are you thinking? Pope style or Dear Life from the Past?
What do you want to do? You want to hold on to your Pope style?
Actually, we can hit the Pope style. Let's just hit it real quick.
Okay.
Just because it was part of that Bible UAP thing that irritated me. I suppose we better just hit it. It'd be just a second, though. How was your life? I was doing something.
So obviously, for those of you who do not know, any first-time listeners or people don't pay too much attention to the show, what we're talking about Pope style advice is the concept is that 10,000 people are on the lawn of Mike Foost, and they have stumbled upon his lawn, and they think that he's got a funny hat on. They think that he's the Pope. So what he needs to do is he needs to come out, and he needs to give them some life-changing advice, some little nugget of wisdom that he's got to get them off his lawn because he doesn't want 10,000 people there, and that's what Mike's doing right now.
Okay. Okay, here's the deal. So I was reading in James. Anytime that I'm in a bad spot, I think I pull up the old James, and he seems to do some stuff for me. So I was reading James, and I didn't get very far. I got two verses in. Like, I was looking for I can't remember what I'd been doing, but I felt like I just needed to connect with God, and I just needed to set apart some big amounts of time. I was going to do it. So I had like an hour plan. I was going to sit down and read my Bible, and I literally got 2 minutes in. And that was it, because I felt like this verse just kind of beat me up for a while. So anyway, we're on James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." That's all the farther I got. I got two verses in.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the steadfastness part, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And I thought, you know, here's the thing. when it comes to really, really getting what God is offering, right? Like really what the kingdom of God is about, steadfastness is one of those things that like, you never get to see what's in the next door until you complete that door.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you never get to that. It was the verse 4 said, and let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I thought, I never let steadfastness have its full effect. You know what I'm saying? I get two steadfastness in and I'm like, I've done the best I can.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go do something else.
I'll wait no longer.
You know, like I put my foot in the ground and I say, that's it. Like I'm not moving anymore. I'm trusting that God says this produces glory to Him and joy to me, and I'm not moving. I'm done. I'll get two in, and then I'll be like, I don't know if I really. I mean, this is like head talk, right? Because like, if you ask me, I'll tell you. I'll say, yeah, that's the way to go. Yeah, that's the way to live. Absolutely, you gotta double down. But my effort will go two or three times in, and then I'll go, you know, maybe I don't believe that God will produce glory for Himself and joy for me in this. Maybe I'll bail and go back to what I was doing. Because I was making headway. I'd have got somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's a lie. It's a total lie. I've exchanged the truth for a lie. And I thought, I'd really like to, what really hit me was, and I guess what is my Pope style advice is freaking give steadfastness a try. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let it have its baby called perfection and then nuzzle on it and love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Give it the chance to grow. And like, I don't think most of the people I know that have walked away from the church have done it for one of two reasons. One is because they don't like the people and they weren't interested in the gospel. Or two, they gave Jesus a shot and it didn't work. And really what I think happened is you gave steadfastness two rounds and then you bailed and didn't give it a chance to grow into a relationship, which grew into a beautiful marriage, which grew into an awesome friendship, which grew into an awesome child, and which grew into blessings that you can't count because you weren't willing to put up with a second date.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that when you look at all the things that God has promised, it all sounds like a fairy tale because no one makes it past round two of steadfastness. Mm-hmm. They bail on it and they go, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Because in the midst, there's a reason you have to be encouraged to stay steadfast because it sucks.
Yeah.
There's parts of it that is not great.
We run quickly away from pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than leaning into it and embracing it, thinking God's got something in this.
You know how many fellas I talk to when, like, especially people that have, like, I mean, they are on the opposite side of God right now. And usually the first thing I will advise them, because they'll come and ask for advice, and I'll say, look, we need to talk about where you and Jesus are at. And they'll kind of be half open, you know, what do I need to do? And I said, be ready to start telling the truth. And be ready to start being honest about what you did, and be ready with an apology. I said, they're still going to be mad at you. That's fine. That's not the point. The point is to unburden you and start at a point where you can be honest from here on out. And it seems so simple, like, of a thing. But, like, if you take all the things that burned you and put you in a hole to start with, it was surrounded by lies. Like, everything that you did, you surrounded with 5 lies. And then you did something else, and you added 10 lies to that. And so, like, now granted, you have some big major sins you like to point out, like, I don't have a job, or I stole something, or whatever. To steal something, you had to tell 5 lies to do it. I mean, it's always surrounded by dishonesty and not being true to the people around you and to the God that created you. And, like, the steadfastness part comes in the prickly details. I can tell you for the last 32 years, I have yet to murder a man. I'm standing firm on my murder and my theft. But when it comes to say getting me out of a little bit of trouble that's probably going to inconvenience me for a half hour, you know, I might slip on my steadfastness a little bit, and like that's the kind of stuff that I think ends up weighing you down over the long run. And it's the details, and it's when we keep talking about that we don't care about the end, we care about the means, and the means includes steadfastness through the spectrum,
right?
Not the big ones that you want to point out, or the folks around you want to point out, or even what the church wants to point out, right? Like the Holy Spirit, if you're asking God for wisdom, it's right in James. It says the exact same thing: those who lack wisdom, ask,
yeah,
and He'll give it to you. And so, and it's the exact same thing. You say, God, I'm struggling, I'm feeling my steadfastness is starting to slip a little bit. Yeah. Can you help? And if you're asking for help, then you'll get an answer back, and He'll be there. He's not bailing on you.
And it's weird how that comes back full circle, right? Because like we were talking earlier about focus on the means and not the end. The reason you give up on steadfastness is because you didn't see the end that you wanted, right? You were begging for the end. You were saying, here's what I'm going to act,
expecting a certain outcome. And if the outcome isn't what I want, then I'm going to agree that it failed. I'm going to trust that it failed or that it just doesn't work, right? If we forget the end completely and just focus on the means, it's interesting. If you look at there's a seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, right? Chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation is the seven letters to the churches. Every single one of them advocates for those churches to persevere to the end. Okay, and what are you persevering in? Not see the end correctly and find a way to attain it. It's basically preservation in the means, sitting in the good works that I prepared for you and persevering that to the end, and then that will produce the end that I want. That brings about God's glory, right? And so it's weird. We get caught up in the score sheet. God handles the score sheet. We handle the means. And steadfastness, we have to be encouraged to that, to take our mind off of trying to produce the outcome that we want.
Can you start just, I don't like saying steadfastness, it trips me up. Can you just call it the steady?
The stiffy?
The steady.
Siffy?
The steady.
Siffy?
Siffy. No, the steady. Okay. We got to stay in the steady.
Okay, stay in the steady. I got it. Anyway.
I was offended after steadfastness, so that works. Go ahead with the steady.
But that's the thing is we get disappointed because we are again trying to orchestrate an end. Here, God, look what I've produced. Check this out. And here's the deal. God is very interested in what you produced. He just is, right? It's not what saved you, but he saved you for good works. He's interested in what you produced, but he's not asking you to orchestrate the end. He's got it under control. You're just to sit there and play your part, to stay within the means, hit the steady on the means, and we get caught up in trying to orchestrate the end and try to show God, look what we made.
You know, you talk about Revelation. That is written to a group of people who are being skinned alive, boiled, set on fire, children fed to lions. I mean, it wasn't like, I know you're having a bad day and the boss looked at you mean because you had a Jesus t-shirt on. it's you are dying for your faith and it's tough.
Yeah.
And he's saying, just be faithful.
What Revelation is that, First and Second James James is that, First and Second Peter is both that, First and Second Thessalonians is that. Like,
you may die for your faith.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You die steadfastly.
Yeah. You be in the steady, even when the axe is at the ready.
The reward is yet to come.
Bumper sticker. Go ahead, Bubba.
For a second, I thought you were calling me bumper sticker. That's why I was really confused. But I latch on to that verse so much because, and I've talked about this before in the show, but when I lost my mom and dad, that was the biggest thing that ever happened to my faith. And I look back and then I say it sounds weird to everybody, but that was the best day of my life. Was when I lost my dad, because I had what I perceived as a faith, but it hadn't been tested in any way. My faith had been tested because I didn't get a date to the prom. I mean, I had been in high school up to that point. There wasn't really much that I had to deal with. Yeah, my buddy and I got in an argument once. I've really been tested. No, absolutely not. I had nothing. And then out of nowhere, God decided that it was time. And
it shakes to your core.
It shook me to my core because I stood on a faith that I thought I had faith in a relationship with God and with Christ. I realized that I stood on a faith that I had a faith and love for my dad and his faith. I didn't have one of my own. And I had to choose as an adult, am I going to follow in my father's footsteps in the meaning of, am I going to have an honest relationship with Christ as a man of Christ myself, or am I going to fall off because it didn't work? And I had to, and it took me, it wasn't immediate, it wasn't, my dad passes, and then the next month I'm just steadfast in love with God. No, absolutely not. It took years. But that was the start, that God used that to just completely rip everything that I had that was fake out from under me so that he could start building an actual foundation. And I'm not, I'm in the same boat. I have issues with steadfastness, the steady. I have issues with the steady. In so many places, I find myself where I just am not committing my relationship, and I know exactly what I'm doing wrong, and I know my sins, but I keep running back to them, and I keep doubting my faith in the littlest ways, not shaking my faith anymore, but little things that just kind of come up, and I'm just like, you know, that kind of makes sense. Oh, wait, what am I doing? So I'm working on it, but through trials, I'm in a much better position through God's love and through God's grace for me than I was 3-4 years ago because of the trials that I've gone through and because of the testing of my faith and the ripping out of my false foundation and then the building up of a new one that was in Christ.
That's the steady.
That's the steady.
That's the steady.
So what do y'all think, like, talking about all this steady, this steadfastness, what do you think
a good approach is to maintain that steadfastness. Like, what are actions that we can take to start making that more sturdy, to solidify that a little bit more?
So this is, of course, this is going to sound kind of pamphlety, so be ready for it. But there's some truth behind some pamphlets, apart from the hip Jesus missionary. But they, I really find that my ability to keep the steady has a lot to do with my willingness to read the Bible, to read the Word. I mean, it just does. Like, there's people that ace memorizing verses. I'm not that guy. I don't pull it off. I can get you a vague book, maybe a chapter, if I've just read it recently. It's just not me. But like, I get the word tornado. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could pick, when I hear someone say something, or even, you know, not biblical, just something, I could, you know, I've read that before, I've heard that before, I know what God's heart is on that, and I can't tell you where it is, but I know what that heart is. You know what I'm saying? I can't tell you when my wife said X and X, but I can tell you that's what she thinks.
And you just hang on to that. No, even because you can't see the end, you can't see where it's going, you don't know what tomorrow looks like, you just hang on to that. There is joy in this somewhere. Not happy joy, but God's going to grow me through this. I can remember, I've shared before, you know, sitting on our bed after losing our second child, and just going through, and it was a miscarriage, and it was just the most painful time of our life, and we'd gone through all those fertility treatments and all these different stuff, and we're just laying there, and there's nothing. You got nothing. I mean, you can only feel anything hardly. You're just nothing. It's dark. And that verse going through my head in James, it's like, I don't see tomorrow. I have no clue what's coming up next. God's going to do something. And that's all I know. That's all you know. And you just cling on to that. And the next day you cling on to it again, and you just keep clinging on to it until one day you look back and go, wow, God really did something. You know, and sometimes you'll find it sooner than later. It just depends on what's going on in your life. And but he always does. He's always faithful.
So I mean, let me ask you this, because I mean, I know it's easier. It doesn't make it easy. It just makes it easier if you can get yourself in touch with God's word and what He's got going. I mean, what else would you recommend? Right? I mean, like I think that God's word's a huge part of it.
Oh yeah.
But I know that doesn't keep the steady for me. You know what I'm saying? It makes it easier, and it brings it up more often where I go, that's not steady. That's not where I want to be. Mm-hmm. That's, in fact, those are the questions that I remember when I first turned around and really wanted to start paying attention to what God was growing in His kingdom. The questions that I asked myself more times in a day than I do right now was, that's not where I want to live. I don't want to live there. Is that where you want to live? You know, and like, there made some very awkward decisions where I had to say I stole something, you know, small, which everyone else steals, and it's pretty much considered okay. But I thought, I don't want to live in that gray. I don't want to live outside this kingdom. I want to live in the kingdom. And I'm going to say, look, you know, 6 months ago, you guys had an extra extension cord and I took it to my place. So I owe you $20, you know, and like, that's stupid, embarrassing. And like, it literally happened. My boss laughed at me. And I thought, I don't care. I don't want to live in your great kingdom. I want to live in this kingdom. And I stole that extension cord, and that's the end of it. And like, I, trust me, it's embarrassing. But like, I knew that's how I wanted to live, right? And but then it just the steady starts to slip. You know what I'm saying? That sooner or later, 6 months later, a new extension cord's at my house, and I'm like, everyone takes an extension cord. It's kind of considered part of the gig. No, it isn't. You know what I'm saying? It is, but it like shouldn't be for me. So I guess that's kind of what I'm after. Is like, I mean, we set a foundation with Bible reading. Where else are we at? Are we talking about community here, fellas?
Well, yeah. So I mean, the first part is setting your perspective right. Right? Like, that's the whole point of the Bible reading, is to be able to look at things for what they are, as opposed to what you perceive them to be. I worry about something tomorrow because I've lost my perspective, wasn't correct. And so I don't read the Bible because God tells me to. I read the Bible because that lets me know more about Him and get the right perspective on the life that I live and on the kingdom that I'm in, right? And I suppose second to that would be using the community that God has built around you to be that reminder, right? Because you only pick up that Bible if you want to. You only walk to God, you only pray when you want to, right? Sometimes God's going to send somebody in your life to come after you because you're not coming after Him. And that's sweet. That's why you have a community of people around you. Like, so the question would be, if you really want to protect the steady in your life, have you given somebody permission to tap you on the shoulder? It's the weirdest thing, but like,
but it's an awkward thing to insert yourself into somebody's life. It just is. To just butt in and say, hey, I want to be kind of up in your business. What's up? You know, but like I have some guys that I meet with on a weekly basis, and I feel like I said this within the last 2 or 3 months. I said, I'm giving you full permission to say whatever you want, whenever you want, when it comes to my life. You have full permission to do that. Because, like, if I'm running from God, I would hope that somebody in my community is there to stop me and say, Ben, where are you going? God's over there. And some of that is just a reminder to let people into your life. That's the messy part. Even those guys have accepted a mess. When I said, you can speak into my life whenever you want, about whatever you want. If you see something going on, I give you full permission. And maybe there's a good reason for it, but like, I'm telling you that you get to ask me about that. I'm giving you permission to do that. By them saying yes, they've introduced themselves to a mess, right? Because it's like seeing something go, like a domestic dispute going on over there, and it's way easier to walk away, right? But those guys have agreed that they're going to walk over and say, hey, man, what's going on? What's happening over here? That they could get a punch to the face, or yeah, I don't know, see some getting an O'Doul's thrown at your head. I don't know what goes on in domestic disturbance.
He's way out of hand.
But yeah, so I would say, like, you're protecting. You're right. They sound cliched, right? And I think sometimes we do them for the wrong reasons, right? Well, I go to my weekly group, or I read the Bible 5 times a week. But like, you do it because you want to, because you're seeking the heart of God. You find community because that's what God has placed in your life. To help keep you oriented toward his kingdom. You do those things because you want to, not necessarily just because like that's the status of a guy that loves Jesus. You're pursuing Christ, and you do it through getting to know him. You do it through his people kind of reining you in from walking away. And yeah, I say both of those things are very strong in keeping the steady.
Absolutely. I completely agree with both points. From my personal experience, I went from a faith that I had, like I talked about with the faith of my dad, then choosing to have the faith on my own. But to start building that, I had to start getting a biblical foundation. And I had to actually start spending time in the Word, because I'd read Matthew about 9 times and then nothing else. And I'd read Revelation. I had Matthew and Revelation. That was my Bible.
Uh-huh.
That is not a good, solid standpoint. It's not. You need everything else. And so I kept reading the New Testament. And then once I read the New Testament, I kept reading it over and over again. And then I realized, well, there's a couple books I'm missing, I think. And then I had to go back and start a biblical foundation. Because of that, I have a stronger faith. And then to speak about community, the accountability group that I have with a guy named Pants, that some of the people who have been watching the show for a long time may know. But him and I can tell that it's not just a ritualistic, hey, this is my group every week. Because there's rules to the accountability of the group that we have that we break every single week. It's not, it actually seriously comes in a pamphlet, and you've got rules that you're supposed to read. And the pamphlets are great. The life transformation groups are amazing. Our relationship has been based off of that, but now we don't read the pamphlet anymore. We know the questions pretty much by heart. We know the questions that we've come up with by heart. We know each other because we've been doing this for years. And I have no one that knows more about me and that I know more about than I have with this dude. And he has full permission to talk to me and to call me an idiot. And the dude has called me a joke on more than one occasion. And that was really hard to take the first time. He called me a joke of a man. And I was like, wow, I don't know how to take that. And he said, you're going to take it well, because I'm going to say it again. I'm just like, all right, fair enough. I'm a joke of a man. Yeah, exactly. And this is a dude that's a fourth of my size that's calling me a joke. Luckily, we were in a place we were having lunch, so there was nothing that could have done. We were in public. But no, it's the relationship that I have with him, the accountability that I have with him, that there is a fellow believer that is vested in my relationship with Christ, and that I am also vested in his relationship with Christ, and therefore all the fruits of his relationship with Christ and all the people that he has to deal with, and vice versa. And that has helped to get me closer to the steady.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. We do not have time to handle any worldly advice tonight. We are tapped out. We're gonna hit it double. We get double next week. The moon man's in.
We can do an advice show next week, maybe.
Okay. You're listening to Life from the Path. Hey, make sure you sign up for the audio podcast. Go to lifefromthepath.org. You can find clips from the past shows. Sign up for the audio podcast, and just snoop around. There's plenty of stuff to do. It's not gonna pass your work filters though.
Yeah.
If you've got streaming media blockage at work, it's not going to happen.
No,
you got to download that business.
Here's what I can ask you to do, though. I did this last week, and it would really help us out. But next time you're in the Apple Store, just go ahead and subscribe to the Life from the Path podcast on all the floor models.
I made sweet. I made it halfway around for the salesman. Came up trying to get me to buy something. I had to shag out, but I'm gonna do the same thing every time I go.
And make sure you go to April 12th. Go to the Mars Cafe. Check out Chandler and Jordan's show. It's gonna be awesome, and it's completely free to get in. It should be a couple hours of great music. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. You've been listening to Live from the Pack.